Take your Bibles, please, and let's turn together to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, we're continuing in our study of the most important name, I believe, of God recorded in the Scriptures. And I want to reiterate again Psalm 9 and verse 10 while you're turning to Exodus 3, which says, "And they that know thy name will do what? They will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek him." That is such a powerful verse of Scripture. And it was written from a man who knew firsthand exactly what he was saying. As long as he sought after the Lord, he saw the blessings of God in his life. Whenever he went out on his own and played the fool, which he did many times, David was involved in the murder of Uriah. He was involved in a sexual relationship with multiple women. And yet, he returned back to his God. And God said of him, he was a man after my own heart. Now, that's just the grace and goodness of God, folks. We need to thank God that he said that. It's a reminder to us. Sometimes we get kind of proud. So I'm not like, David. I haven't done all those things. Well, you may have thought them. You may have thought them. And what did Jesus say? If you think in your heart to commit adultery, you've done it. So let that soak in for just a moment. Our thought life sometimes may be something that nobody else knows but God knows. And yet he chooses to love us and provide us with his grace in spite of that. So we want to pick up tonight with this statement that's made in the book of Exodus chapter 3. When Moses came to the Lord, before the Lord, God had called him to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. And Moses had some objections. And by the way, before we get too proud of ourselves, let's just realize we would do the same thing. We'd have a few objections too. I think anybody that was asked to lead 3 million people out of captivity would have a few things to say about it. And Moses did. He was honest before God. That's okay. You can be honest before God. But then when God tells you to do it, and I'm going to supply all the power you need, then get at it. Don't keep talking about it. Trust him. Rest in him. "Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people," verse 10, "the children of Israel out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain." Now think about that for just a moment, what God is saying to him. He said, "I'm going to give you a little token. One day, when you stand upon this mountain, you'll look back and say, God did it all. God provided all the help that was needed. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey." Isn't it interesting that he put all the enemies in the list before he said milk and honey? We would like, hey, Lord, just skip all the names there. Let's get right to the milk and honey. That's humans, right? But he said, I'm going to send you to the land, and he lists all these ites out first. And then he said, yes, a land flowing with milk and honey, the promised land. I will deliver you into that land. You know, the promises of God are without repentance. And guess what? Children of Israel ended up in that land. But Moses had to come to grips with a name first. And this is the whole point of this passage. This was a wrestling between Moses and God. Lord, what am I going to say to these people when they ask what your name is? They've been in this land for over 400 plus years. They don't even know who you are. Who am I going to say you are? And he said, you tell them I am that I am. You tell them I am. Twice he says it. And then he says, I am the God, Yahweh, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he mentions that twice. So we find here, and this is important, two facts that I think tell us and persuade us that I am is an interpretation of Yahweh. I am is an interpretation of Yahweh. First of all, the first fact is they come from the same root word in the Hebrew. That's important. It gives us an idea that God wanted to reveal Himself in such a way to make them aware, I'm the eternal present one. I was with your forebears 400 years ago when they came into Egypt. I've been with you every day over those 400 years, and I'm with you today, and I will be with you tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day. If there's ever something that we need to be reminded of, Christian, it's the eternal presence of God. When you make choices and you don't consult with God, when you make decisions and you just pound them off, you know, you're making your decisions and very little thought about, you know, God, what should I do here? Would you give me wisdom here? When we do that, we don't have an understanding of I am. We don't have an understanding. You say, well, you just got through with a series of messages that says, there's no specific will of God. It is the moral will of God that's given. That's correct. But we're still told to seek after God. We're still to pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth even as it is in heaven. And then the next thing, which is the simplest statement, I think, and give us our daily bread. God wants us to ask for our daily bread? Well, I thought He was just going to provide it. I don't need to ask for anything. Oh, I'm going to tell you something, folks. We have to show our dependence upon the independent one. Are you following? We have to show our dependence upon the independent one. He doesn't need our help. He chooses us by His grace. And we need to let Him know, Lord, I need your daily bread. I need your provision. And so we could go on throughout the rest of that prayer, but we need to move along. So the first fact that I want you to know is that I am is a derivative of the same name as Yahweh. They're sister words. They come from the same root. I am. And Yahweh, which means the eternally existent one. So I am puts it always in the present. Isn't that wonderful about God? You know, we have a tendency to think in the future the rapture is going to come. And I'm going to see God. But in reality, God's right here. Always. We have the presence of His Holy Spirit right here, right now. Can we not enjoy His presence? Would we have to wait to some time in the future? He's the eternal I am. And this was the message from Moses. I'm going to be with you every step, every day, because I am. You think that you lack the substance of being a leader. You think that you don't know how to frame the words right to be able to communicate as a leader. You think you need help from Aaron or somebody else to be able to do that, but I am, Moses. I am. Now, I don't know that Moses fully grasped that, and I don't think we do either. But it's still true. Amen? It's still true. When you go to the doctor and you have this whole list of things you got to go to RX Express to get, and you start thinking, oh, how am I going to be able to survive all this? I've got to take this pill, that pill. I know my wife and I now are competing. How many of you have the 7-day pill pack thing? I've got that. All right. My wife has two of them now. And I have two. I have one here at school that has got my vitamins in there that I'm supposed to be taking. And then I have my pills that I take at night. And we're in a competition. Who's going to have the most 7-day little, because you can't get them all in the 1 7-day plastic container. And I remember a day when I didn't take anything but Flintstones vitamins. Anybody ever take Flintstones? Yeah. I thought that was the coolest thing. That was one of the perks that Mom let us have when we were kids. There weren't very many, but we had the perks of Flintstone vitamins. And you'd say, I want the grape one. We'd fight over what flavors, you know, were in the Flintstone vitamin container. And that was the only thing we took. Now we got Geritol, and we've got this mineral and that mineral and this vitamin, that vitamin, this pill, that pill. And you know what we begin to do? How are we going to make it? How long do I got left? And we start taking our eyes off the eternal I am, who spans eternity. And we're worried about whether we're going to make it or not. Listen, the only way we're going to make it is through Jesus Christ. Your whole eternity rests in the person of Christ, the eternal I am, because Jesus identified himself as that. Isn't that wonderful? You read the book of John and count how many times he says, I am. Ego eimi in the Greek language. I am. So he identifies himself as that glorious name which spans eternity. I am. We need to stop fretting and worrying and thinking about all the different issues that we have in life, and they are many, and as you get older, they stack up. And we just need to turn it over to the Lord and say, I'm just going to rest in the eternal I am. He's going to be there for me today. He's going to be there tomorrow. He's going to be there 1,000,000 years from now when we're standing in His presence, and it'll all be on His merits. That's the first one. I am. The second aspect of this that I think is important is that God, and I want to make sure I share this, that Yahweh seems to be used here interchangeably in Exodus 3 between I am and Yahweh. They're used interchangeably. As many times as he says, I am, he says, I'm Yahweh of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am. I'm also Yahweh of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God is making something clear. These two names are blended together. As a reminder, Moses had grown up from his mother learning the name of Yahweh. But it wasn't impactful until he heard God say, I am. Hey, that's what my name means. Have you ever researched your name? Do you know what your name means? Used to be a day and time where names were given with some forethought, you know, about a particular meaning. And in the Bible, especially the Old Testament, names were, and even in the New Testament, God changed Saul's name to Paul. Saul meaning big, tall, strong. Paul meaning little, lesser. God changed his name. And many of the names that you find in there where the Lord Jesus calls Peter Simon. And then in other times he calls him Peter, Petros, Rock. All right? Those names were important. Not so today. We have different names. Now, were you named after an ancestor?
Father.
You were named after your father, so you're a junior.
Yes. And Bud means warrior.
It means warrior?
Warrior.
All right, and I'm staying away from that cane right there, unless the warrior picks it up. Brother Grover, have you ever researched your name?
That's a Grove Dweller.
Grove Dweller, yeah. Now, did your dad, whenever you were younger and there was discipline moments, did he ever call you by your first, middle, and last names? Whenever he would call you?
No, usually just son.
That meant something. Son? Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, there are certain names that parents use at moments of discipline. You know, and you can probably hear it right now. I can hear my mom echoing, or my dad echoing my name. Todd, get in here. Well, I wasn't coming to get a treat, let me tell you. It was coming to meet Jesus, all right? And your name has significance. And to this day, I think about the people that I've known in my lifetime. And I hear their name and all the memories flood back. Bill Rosasco is a name. Billy was in my class. And we had a party one time over at Bill Rosasco's mansion down the road here. And Bill Rosasco was very kind to me. Whenever I was ordained to preach in 1989, Mrs. Hobbs had put it in the paper. All right, Todd Brainerd ordained to ministry. And Bill Rosasco cut out the article. He had it laminated and framed and sent to me. He dropped it off here at the front office. Now, he was coaching out here at the time of his youngest son, and so I knew him from that. But he put it very nice set up, and he said, Todd just wanted you to have it, and I want you to know I'm praying for you. Bill Rosasco died years ago. When I go to any of the cemeteries, I can walk through and identify people I've known in my lifetime. I was out at the Serenity Gardens the other day. I didn't wave at you when you went by, but you did go by. I was out there. And that's right. And I don't know if you took your wife out to eat. You probably did, because it was a little bit later when you were coming back in. But I was walking along, and there's right behind from that was the neighbor that I grew up with. On both sides was the Austin family. All but one of them are gone now. And then behind that was the Davises. And I'm starting to find out, the more that I walk around, I'm knowing more and more people that are down there. They're in eternity. And it's a reminder to me that my life here on this earth, unless God intervenes through the rapture, is coming to a close someday. But isn't it wonderful to think that whenever I pass off this scene, whatever that God chooses to do that, that's in His will. And I've known some preachers that were just out on a walk. Pastor Costello out in California took his dog for a walk after church and was hit by a car and killed. Both he and his dog were killed on a sidewalk. They weren't even in the road. The car had veered over, and Matt Costello's dad, Dennis Costello, was the one that passed away. He was only 62. That happens to be my age. Just walking his dog after church to go for some exercise. Life snuffed out just like that. But you know what? He's with the Lord. He has the same I am there as he had down here. This is a reminder, folks, that when you hear the name I am, he is personified in Jesus Christ. Always there, never ending, no beginning, no end. And when we start looking downward at our lives and we get troubled by all these things, get your eyes up, look under the hills from whence cometh your help. The I am is always with you. So, I want to share seven things, and we're not going to get to all seven of these because our time is limited. But I want to share with you seven implications of the divine I am. Seven's a good number, by the way. And I didn't originally come out with seven, but it ended up, after studying some more, I picked up a couple of more, so it ended up being seven instead of four. Number one, everybody say it out loud, please. God exists. How does the Bible begin? In the beginning of this earth, there was God. There was God. It wasn't in the beginning He became God. It was in the beginning of this world, as we know it, God was already there. So the very first verses of the Bible point this fact out, that God exists. And that's behind the name Yahweh. It's behind the name I Am. In the Greek, ego eimi, I am. I'm the eternally existent one. I exist. Because I exist, we exist. Not the other way around. I remembered a story as I was studying this, and I printed it off because I went back. It was in one of our readers when we were growing up, Open Court Reading. And they used to have a lot of different things, and they had Aesop's Fables. They'd have stories from that, and even from Greek mythology. And I remembered this about a man that said he was God. And his name was Echanus. Echanus decided that he was going to prove to everyone that he was God and that he was going to fly to the sun. So he made him some wooden wings and covered the wooden wings with eagle's feathers. And he attached them by putting hot wax on the wood and sticking it on there. And so he went to Mount Olympus. And he jumped off and he began to swing his arms and he began to lift himself higher and higher and higher, except there was one problem. The closer he got to the sun, what happened to the wax? It melted and all the feathers came off and he crashed to the ground and died. Now that's a fable, all right? It's a fable. But it was something that stuck in my mind as a kid. No one on this earth is God. There's only one God. And that's the eternal I Am. And man can come up with all these concoctions. This week they had Dr. Fauci in front of the thing. They were reading from his diary. You know, when all of us were wearing masks and we couldn't go anywhere and we were 6 foot distance, all that kind of stuff. And you know what he was worried about? I'm famous now. I'm known all over the world. I have endless phone calls seeking my wisdom in all of this. He reminded me of Echanus. He had built his wooden wings and he had taken the wax and he applied the feathers and he's flying high. But now there are seven states that have joined together to bring a suit against Dr. Fauci because his diary illustrated all the lies that he told. He wasn't telling the truth about a number of different things. A man's ego, and by the way, ego eimi, the first part of that is ego. We get our English word ego from that, right? Ego. Epsilon, gamma, omega. Those three letters, ego. And we all know what ego is, right? We lift ourselves up with pride and think we're something when we're absolutely nothing. God exists. God is there. The most important truth about God. Before you were, He is. Don't say He was. He is. That's an astounding statement from God's Word and something that we need to remind ourselves when we become self-important. Number two, and this is the last one for tonight, no reality exists behind God. He doesn't consult anybody. You know, the better part of wisdom is to ask for help. Everybody agree with that? Here on this earth, the better part of wisdom is you ask for help. If I need legal help or assistance, I'll talk to Bill. Because he has knowledge in legal affairs and he can get, if he doesn't know what it is, he always says, I know somebody that can help us with this. The better part of wisdom is to ask. Because we're not like God. We're not all-knowing. We're not omniscient. And we're not all powerful. We're limited. The best way you can find that out is start a carpentry project. You want to find out how good we are? You know, some people are just gifted in carpentry. They can produce beautiful furniture and everything. I just sit there in awe, you know. But I remember my dad used to call himself a wood butcher. We had some projects. I remember in ninth grade, Dad came to us and said, we're going to put an addition on the back of our house. And I said, who's going to do it, Dad? And he looked at Roger and I said, y'all are going to do it. I said, what? We've never built anything. I said, Dad, have you seen what we've done out in the backyard? Nailing stuff. Dad never bought a new nail in his life. He always took old nails and bent them back straight. And we would sit out there on the concrete for hours straightening nails. Remember that, Pop? We built a shed for my grandmother with nails that were used probably when the Mayflower came over. And they'd been hammered back straight and reused again. And Dad said, we're going to build this. We. Don't you love the French language, we? Yeah, which means, yes, you're going to do it. And I remember that project going on. We poured the concrete. And it was a bunch of people that had no idea what they were doing. And Dad says, we are a proud lot of wood butchers. And we laughed at that. We thought it was so funny because it was absolutely true. But we built it. And we finally got it done. I don't know how long did it take us, Pop, to build that? It seemed like an eternity. 78, 79. And we, for a while, we didn't even have interior paneling or anything in there. We ended up using paneling instead of sheetrock because we didn't know how to do sheetrock. So it ended up being paneling. And some of it wasn't straight, so we had to cut it at an angle so we could get it all straight. It was a fun mess. And I remember when we finally got carpet in there. And we got it in there. We had to pour a ramp to get up into the house because we didn't pour the pad high enough. So I had to put a ramp in there. And it was a project that we did. And we finally, the last day, we poured a concrete pad out front. And Dad said, I want you to put your names in the concrete. All right? The wood butcher roster. All right? And there to this day, it's a little more faded now. It's been almost 45 years. Since we did that. But there's BTB, Brian Todd Brainerd, and there's Roger Glenn Brainerd, right, our initials, and then even Missy got hers in there. But this man refused to put his name on there. He did not want anything to do with recognition. There's three kids' names stuck in the concrete as a reminder of who built the addition on the back of the Brainerd house. Now, it's still standing, I have to say. It's been through how many hurricanes? I mean, it went through Hurricane Frederick in 1979. That was the first test of whether it was going to fall down. You know, we always thought about, well, all we need is a big wolf to come by and huff and puff, and it'll blow this thing to kingdom come. But it's been through hurricanes and so forth, so we must have done something right. It was a family project. Now, I want you to know something. Our God, exists without any help. He doesn't need us. He's self-determining. He's absolute. And he is reality. I have my truth. What a fool to say something like that. You don't have anything. God is the ultimate reality. And that's the thing that just crank Satan up against the works of Christ, that he's not Christ, but he wants to be. So he's going to push himself off as the great anti-Christ. And by the way, it doesn't mean against, it means alongside of. I'm going to be alongside of Christ, but he will never, ever be alongside of our Savior because Jesus Christ is the eternal I am and Satan is not. Would you bow your heads in prayer? Father, awaken us to the name above all names, I am. The name of God in the Old Testament, the name of Christ in the New Testament, I am. Oh, what a reminder we need to have each and every day. We get so wrapped up in our petty things of what we think are important, but in reality they are not. They're just things in time. But time will be swept away one day, and we'll learn a little bit about eternity when we stand in His presence. And the old things of this earth and the heavens will all pass away, and we'll be with Jesus forever and ever. Thank you for loving us, dear Father. Loving us not in word, but in deed. And I pray that you'd stir our hearts to be reminded that you exist and that you've chosen us. You are the only reality there is. There's no alternative. There's just the reality of God. I pray that you would stir our hearts to love you, to thank you, to pray to you, to rejoice in you, and that we would find all our all in all in Jesus Christ, for we ask it in His name. Amen.